Today we're going to talk about faith.
Everybody's doing good today? Doing good?
Sure.
Yeah, well, you're married to me, so how much better can that be, right? So I do have, better get my notes out, huh? We do start church back up on Wednesdays, this Wednesday, August 16th at 7. So come and we'll praise and worship and prayer together in the sanctuary, kind of go over the schedule for the year and a few things and staff introductions and maybe even a cookie or two. Brian, you'll be down for that, right? Okay. So come and enjoy that. And this is a time when we receive the tithes and offerings. And, you know, it's really, sometimes I just want to tell you, thank you. But also, this is your church. And without your support and without your attendance and without your work, nothing would happen here. So we just want to thank you and we want to honor you today for following what God's called you to do. So without you, there is no church. So let's receive today's tithes and offerings. Lord, we just honor you today. We're just so thankful that we have seed to sow. We're just so thankful that you've blessed us abundantly so that we could give and be a blessing to others. Lord, we just honor you with these tithes and offerings today. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker.
Well, you guys are in for a treat today because I'm here, right? I'm not Pastor Tim, for those of you that don't know. I'm Brandon. My name's Brandon Pro. Been in this church since, I don't know, what, 89, 90, somewhere in there? So I've been around a while, and Pastor Tim asked me to share a message today, and I always think about, well, what am I gonna teach on? I pray and talk to God, and he says, tell him what you know, right? Well, I've been married a long time. I have 3 kids, so I know a few things about family and about kids, so that's what we're going to talk about today, our house band at our house. We're going to, you know, go through a few things, and hopefully you'll get something out of this message. You know, we rely on TV and a lot, sitcoms and movies to tell us what the perfect family is like, right? So when you were growing up, how many of you watched, like, I can tell how old you are by asking this question. How many of you watched Leave It to Beaver growing up? Oh, yeah, you guys are old. How about The Brady Bunch? I was a Brady Bunch, yeah. How about Full House? Brian? Full House. Cosby Show. I know he's had some issues, but I watched that. I remember when the Cosby Show first came out. It was like 1980-something. I had the chicken pox, so I was home by myself all day, just chomping at the bit to watch the first episode of the Cosby Show. I was 12 years old, and I just remember that vividly, laying on the couch, watching Price is Right during the day, you know. And there wasn't much else, and we didn't have a lot of cable back then. So I grew up in a little town, southwest Kansas, at Ulysses, and we lived there until I was right before my sophomore year in high school and moved to Hayes. My mom and dad were divorced, and my mom married a guy that was from Hayes, so we moved here. I finished high school here, went to college here, met my lovely bride here. There she is walking in. Everybody stare. We started dating when I was a junior. She was a senior. Yeah, that's right, guys. That's right. And we've been together ever since. That's a long time. That's a really long time. Longer for her, I'm sure. So we sometimes rely on culture to tell us how to run our families or how to be a good family. And sometimes we don't look at the Bible and what the Bible teaches us about how to build a family. See, the word house and household is usually used with family, and if we say it's my house or my household, my family. One day, Joshua, back in the Old Testament, about 3,000 years ago, Joshua, the guy who took the reins for Moses and led God's people into the promised land, in Joshua 24:15, it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, we've heard that a lot, right? We've heard that scripture a lot over the years, but we forget to put it in practice a lot of times. We forget to do what it says a lot of times. As for me and my house, he took a private decision, but he made it public. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, what does that look like, right? If you build your house on a rock, Jesus said, if you obey and do the things that I've asked you to do, it'll be solid. You'll be building your house on a solid foundation. But if you don't do the things Jesus has called you to do in the Bible, it's like building your house on sand, right? It may look good for a while, and you're right at the beach. I mean, enjoying your sipping your coffee at the beach. But then a big storm comes and blows your house down. The waves will wipe it away, and you'll be without anything because you didn't build your house on a solid rock. So what is the foundation of the family? Some of you maybe are single in here and or young and not married, and you're thinking, well, I don't have to listen because I'm not married. I don't have a family. Well, 90% of single people will get married eventually. And if you're not married yet, maybe this will give you some good tips on how to build your house on the rock in some way. Maybe you'll just stare at your phone and act like you're, reading scriptures, but maybe you're playing Candy Crush or something. So either way, hopefully something sinks in. In a way, this message could be for singles as much as it is for older people that are married. You know, I think about myself when I do teaching on the family because that's what I know is myself, right? I know we've been together since 1987. Do the math on that real quick. 36 years. And, it wasn't always perfect. It hasn't been rainbows and unicorns all the time at our house. But we stuck together. But one thing that I remember early on in our marriage, we decided to build our marriage on the foundation of the Word. You know, there are guiding principles. You know, you might take, as for me and my house as a core value for your family. Whenever there's trouble and things in your family, you can go back to that core value and say, what are we going to do based on the Word, right? And so we've been married 29 years. 29 long years. But if you're willing to work at it and do some things and not be selfish, you can do that too. You think that's a long time? It seems like a blink of an eye. It really does. We have three kids. Two of them are over here right now. Brian, he's the young one. He's 13. Raise your hand, Brian. 13. Get up, Brian. Stand up. No, you don't want to stand up? Then there's Cassidy. She's 21. Wave your hand, Cassidy. Sorry, you guys have seen them all up here. You know, it's the pro family band up here. And then Madison's back teaching the young kids in Children's Church. And my son-in-law, Trenton's with her. And they've been married, what, 3 years? 3 years, yeah. He's got a long way to go with her. I've got great kids, I really do. But one thing that they've allowed me to do is be a father, too. They've allowed me to coach them up and let them, do things and honor me in ways that some kids don't do. We've always been committed to family at our house. We've always worked at it. We do things like spend all weekend at a ballpark together. If that won't bring your family together, I don't know what will. Or tear it apart, I'm not sure which. Or set for, 12 hours in a gym, either watching volleyball or wrestling or something. And the noise level at wrestling matches, wrestling tournaments, anyways, the kids' tournaments, oh my word. You talk about volume. That will make you stick together. But I know it's a shocker that it, you know, our family isn't perfect. I know it probably comes as a surprise to you, but it's crazy about how we. I look back over my life and I think, good night. 29 years married, been together for 36, and I'm thinking it seems like 2 weeks. Doesn't seem like that long. Days are long, but time goes fast, right? Sometimes that's the way it is. When we get, when we've been given, one thing that my wife's always done really well, and she's taught her daughters to do well, is to honor their husband. She's done that really well and allowed me to be the leader of our family. But that's what God says you're supposed to do as a man. You're supposed to take leadership in your family. You're supposed to have a leadership position and be responsible to raise your kids and take care of them. But so many guys don't take that responsibility today. They get married because they want to have a woman around. They can't find anything better to do, maybe. I don't know. But then they go and do whatever they want to do, and they leave it to the mom to do everything else. Well, that's not how God wants it to be. God wants to have the man in leadership of his family. That doesn't mean he's above anybody else. That just means you're responsible for everything in your house. You know, in our household, we do a lot of things together, but here's an example. So this summer, we bought an above-ground pool, right? My wife's been wanting a pool forever, and I've been pushing it off forever because I don't... It didn't really turn my crank to have a pool. But I will say, she was right. But this summer, she was looking around at pools, and this pool's about $500 or something like that. And she was calling me and asking me, well, should we get this pool? Should we get this pool? But that was showing me honor, right? Even though I don't really care about whether we have a pool or not, she was showing me honor by asking, should we do this? What do you think we should do? And finally, I just said, hey, I trust you, make the decision, go down the road. And we have a pool now. But actually, it's been pretty nice to have a pool. You mow the lawn, just go get in the pool afterwards. Cool you off, that's kind of nice. I think she spent many an afternoon out there by herself, mind you, just floating in the pool, no cares in the world, which I think has been good for her. It's been good for all of us, actually. It's been good. But a woman, I mean... Guys, they're way smarter than we are. Let's just face it. They can do way more than we could do. They're tougher than we ever thought about being tough. Raise a couple girls, you'll find out how tough they can be. But if the man doesn't take his role of leadership, the woman will do it because that's just the kind of people they are. They'll take on all the tasks, they'll do a squillion different things, and they'll keep track of it all, and they'll take leadership of the family if you don't. But that's out of order a little bit. It's out of order. It's something that guys, you need to step up to do. Some guys don't even know how much money's in their checking account because, oh, my wife takes care of that. No, take ownership of it, man. Take ownership of your family. Take ownership of your kids. Take responsibility for them. It'll pay dividends. It will pay dividends. You'll be aligned with what God wants you to do. It's a personal decision, but you make it public by carrying out what you're supposed to do. One of the best things we've done as parents is not only build our family on the Word of God, but it was also bringing them to church. Every Sunday, pretty much every Sunday. Now, in the summers, we're gone a fair amount because the boy's got this baseball thing going. He thinks he's going to be a superstar someday. Hey, I hope he is. Pay some of my bills then. Get him off the payroll. I got two off the payroll, by the way. Got two. Count them, two. I'm down to one. Down to one. You know, most guys some guys just don't want to take that leadership role for their family. They just don't want to have responsibility for that. But they'll go to their jobs or to their business they own, and they'll take responsibility and do that stuff all day long. And it's like, where are you at home? Where are you in the most important place, the role of being a father and a husband? But I don't care what you say. I don't care what the culture says. I think if you follow what Joshua did and for you and your house serve the Lord, I call it the he, me, we statement. He, as for me and my house, will serve the Lord. He, God, me, the Father, and then we as the family. If you keep he, we, and me in order, that's a pretty good combination, really. It's all about the house. House stands for holy objective utilized to serve everyone. It's a holy objective utilized to serve everyone. The house has to be a holy habitat of humanity for humanity, and it has to be based in holiness. Needs to be based in holiness, and that's set by the dad in the house. If the dad's never there, if he doesn't operate under God's word with God's principles, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work very well, very much. You know, holiness doesn't mean weirdness. Doesn't mean you have to be weird. It just means you have certain principles you operate by, based on the word of God. One of the attributes is to glorify God in what you do. His sum total of his splendor and his holiness is happening, and it should reflect it in everything we say, do, touch, feel, every single person in the family. So the family should have the foundation that's holy, and we should reflect who God is. And that's not always easy to do in this day and age, right? It's not always easy to follow through and do what you've been told to do or read about or follow through what God's asked you to do. It's easier just to not do it. It's easier not to ruffle the feathers sometimes. You know, raising three kids, I've got two of them pretty much off the payroll, like I said. Still got the boy. That's what we call him, the boy. Because he's the only boy we got. He's my favorite son. My favorite son. And she's my favorite youngest daughter. And then Madison, we're not sure what she is. She's not in here, so I can talk about her, right? You know, your job as a parent is to teach and train your children. It's a process, but it requires consistency. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, teach consistently, or constantly. We're role models and soul models, teaching and then training. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go. Now, I've got three kids. I've got two of the three that are very strong-willed kids. And as most of you know, the oldest is the strongest-willed of them all. You know, the blonde that stands up here, she's in charge. Just ask the other two. She's in charge, right? Yep, see, Brian, at Christmas time, you know, Madison will find a gift for them to give to us. And Brian's like, what did we even get them? I don't know. Just give me $25. That'll be fine. That's okay, Brian. That's okay. A two strong-willed child. Brian is a strong-willed child as well. But I've always said, if you get a strong-willed child in the right direction, and sometimes that's hard to get them in the right direction. I remember when Madison was little. You had to think three steps ahead of her to get her to do what you wanted her to do. You had to be planned out ahead. And if you deviated from the plan, if we had a schedule for the day, and if you deviated from the plan, she was done for the day. She just couldn't handle it. She's just like her mom. But if you train those strong-willed children up in the direction that they need to go, they'll stay there because they're strong-willed. Now, Cassidy, being the middle child, she and having Madison as her older sister had to compromise. Let's just say she had to go with the flow or we'd have some knockdown dragouts, I'm sure. But Cassidy, she's more sensitive, definitely. She's kind-hearted, and she goes with the flow a lot better than the other two do. She's just easy to get along with, fun to be around. She's the comedian of the group, and it's a good balance between all three of them. It's a good balance. But if you get them in the right direction and get them going in the right direction, they won't leave. They'll stay. You know, so many kids that go off to college, once they leave, we don't ever see them again, right? Now, my kids went to school here, which helps them come to this church still. But Madison's been playing keyboards since she was a freshman, probably in high school. And Cassidy started playing in youth ministry back there when she was in middle school or high school. Was it middle school? Huh? Sixth grade? And that's all the better you are? I can't even play a radio. But, you know, we trained them up. We trained them to serve. We trained them to be here, be on time, do what you're asked to do. And it pays them dividends. They both got jobs because they do what they say they're going to do, when they're going to do it. And that's part of being a parent. It wasn't like we were just yelling at them all the time, do this, do that, go make your bed, do this. You train them slowly. You lead by example. You show up on time. You do what you're supposed to do. They see that. You don't criticize your husband. You don't criticize your wife. They see that. You're training them up slowly. It's like when you go in the old days when they were trying to find a bow and arrow, they didn't get a piece of wood that was straight as it could be. They got one that had a curve in a little bit, made it a little easier to bend to make that bow with. That's what you got to do is kind of get them curved, slowly train them up. But it's got to be consistent. It's got to be consistent every day. You know, we play a lot of sports at our house, and the worst thing in the world is a referee, right? Because this quarter they make a call that's this way, the next quarter it's a call the different way. Or it's a ball and strike. There was a strike in the first inning, but in the fifth inning it's not a strike. What is going on? That drives us nuts, right? When we're playing, same with kids. They like those boundaries and limits too, but they want to know that a strike in the first inning is a strike in the fifth inning. They want to know that you're consistent with whatever. If you're going to punish me for doing this now, you got to punish them for doing it the same thing later. They got to know it's consistent. You got to stick with them each and every day. And it sounds exhausting, right? Man, I just don't have enough time or energy to do this. It's your job. It's your job. When you decided to have a kid, that was your decision to make. It's your job to train them up. It's nobody else's job. They're your kids. Once a parent, always a parent, right? My mom still, if I'm riding with my mom in the car and we have to stop quickly, she's got the arm out. Because when I grew up, we didn't have car seats, right? I stood next to my mom in the car, which is real safe. That explains a few things, probably. But she still does that. I'm 52 years old. I'm at least twice her size. And she's stopping me. Mom, I got a seatbelt on. It's good. But she's still a parent, right? She's still mom. And that's the way it'll be with our kids. And we'll still be the parent, always and forever. In today's culture, so many kids are living at home longer than they should. Now, I understand there are certain situations, like Cassidy just got her first job. She still lives at home. She's not married yet. It's a good opportunity for her to save some money and get off on the right foot. Being a teacher, I don't know if you know this or not, being a teacher, you don't get paid a lot. No, you don't. But it's an honorable career, and it's great for a family. My wife's taught for 20, this is your 30th year? 29th year? She's taught a long time. A lot of your kids she's taught. A lot of you she's taught. That's how long she's been in it. 29 years. Madison's, this is her third or fourth year. This will be her fourth year in kindergarten. And Cassidy will be teaching second grade at Lincoln Elementary. It's where Denise went to school. It's where Shana went to school. That's where Cassidy will teach now. We've got another new teacher over here. Are you teaching second grade as well? At Roosevelt, right? God. Are you nervous? Nah, you got this. You got this. Lots of teachers in our family. And the one thing, Shane has been teaching so long that, and she's had a lot of students over the years, and I haven't heard one student say they didn't like her as a teacher. Not one student. Like they're going to come up to me and say, your wife really sucked as a teacher. She was terrible. No. But almost every time, I'll just mention my wife's teacher at the high school. Oh, Mrs. Pro, I know her. Yes, I had her in this or had her for keyboarding or whatever it was. I loved her. And it's not because she takes it easy on them. She's a tough teacher. She works hard. But she works as hard as the kids do. You know, there are teachers that'll assign stuff that never will grade it. her philosophy is if I assign it, I'm going to grade it because you did the work. I need to do my work. There are teachers that'll just give you a completion grade. She's not like that. She works hard. I've seen it. I've been there. You know, every night during the school year, almost every night during the school year, unless we got something going on, she's preparing for the next day, grading papers, doing stuff like that. She's consistent, and her kids have seen consistency. They've seen her work her tail off and get up at 4:45 in the morning before school so she can get a little exercise in and eat her breakfast and get ready for the day. I don't get up at 4:45. But she does, and consistently does. Not every day. Once in a while, you take a day off, which really makes me mad, by the way, because her alarm goes off at 4:45, and of course, I wake up, and then she turns it off and goes back to sleep, and I'm like, why did you set it at 4:45 if you're not getting up? You got to teach and train your kids a little at a time. But most of all, just be the best example you can. We showed up. We came to church. We took them to school. We made sure those things were done. The kids these days are, have you noticed that kids are waiting longer to get married? They're getting older and older to get married. Shane and I got married at 23 years old. We were young and dumb. And you know what I didn't realize is when we got married, she moved in. We didn't live together before we were married. And she moved in, and she was there all the time. She would never leave. And her stuff was in my way all the time. I forgot how nice it was to live on your own. Oh, someday she'll have to tell you how awesome I am to live with, I'm sure. What's the objective of the family? What's the objective? You know, I'm not going to be my kids' buddy. I'm not going to be their friend, although it's a friend-like relationship. It's not a level relationship, I guess you might say. I'm not there to be their agent. I'm not there to vicariously live through them. I'm there to be the leader and the feeder. I'm training my kids to leave. That's what I'm training to do. I'm not saying that that's for you, but for us, we've trained our kids to leave. Now, that sounds harsh, right? I don't mean leave like never come back and see us type thing. I mean, stand on your own two feet. Be a mom, be a dad. Do what you're supposed to do. Have your family. Yes, we'll be a part of it, obviously. But I want you to stand on your two feet. Madison and Trenton got married a few years ago, and it's been kind of fun watching them go through the early stages of marriage. It's kind of interesting, you know, brings back memories. Trenton's learning to handle Madison, and Madison's learning to let Trenton be the leader that he needs to be. It's interesting. It's fun to watch. We don't jump in and say anything. We stay out of it because they need to learn on their own. They need to figure it out. And sometimes I say that about Brian, you know, Shane will be trying to teach him how to, or show him how to do something. So let him do it. Well, he might do, that's right, he might. Let him figure it out. That's how you figure it out. It's hard though, right? You don't want your kids to fail. You don't want them to not do good, but sometimes it's a good teacher. Wrestling is one of those sports that it takes a lot of time to develop the skills, the moves, the endurance, to be a good wrestler. It takes a lot of time, and there's a lot of failure in it. And there's always somebody better. Always somebody better than you. So, you know, Brian, he'll wrestle around here, and he does pretty well around here. And so we take him off the porch every once in a while and take him to a big tournament or a big duel, and finds out he's not the biggest pup on the porch. You know, there's always somebody better. So you got to work, because they're working. They're working just as hard. Or harder. You don't know what they're doing. The behind-the-scenes work that goes into any sport, really, it'll show up when you're on the court, whether it's baseball. Baseball, 3 out of 10 times, if you hit the ball 3 out of 10 times, you're one of the best hitters in the world. 3 out of 10 times. You're batting 300 then. Best hitters in the world would love to bat 300. And but it's the time that you put in on the tee, the time you do soft toss, the time you spend doing this stuff that'll pay dividends in the end. It's just like a family. We spend time with our kids. We do things with our kids. Yes, we go out and have some fun once in a while, but it's not something we just show up and they're raised. Well, there you go. I don't know how that happened. It's something you do behind the scenes that nobody sees. But there is a public benefit to it. When somebody comes up and says, man, you got a good kid there. He's really good. He's helpful. He works hard. Man, Cassidy, she's so sweet. She's nice. We love her. That makes me feel good. But there was some stuff going on behind the scenes. My hand hurts sometimes after that behind the scenes stuff. You know, we talked about how being consistent and dad being the leader of the family. But if we don't, the mom will. They'll take over and do it. Sometimes moms have to make calls when you're not around, right? And they, you know, punish. Let's say they punish the kid, send him to his room or whatever, and you come home and find out what went on. The worst thing you can do as a dad is go against what your wife said to them. You got to support them. You know what? I'm going to be married to her a lot longer than I'm going to be than these kids are going to be around, right? Because I'm training them to leave. If I don't support my wife, I've lost credibility with her, but I've also lost credibility with the kid. Because if I don't stand behind her, they'll be like, oh, I know, I can work this deal a little bit. I can do this. But if you don't support your spouse in whatever, whether it's husband or wife, if you don't support them, you know, they'll come back and do an instant replay on you, and it'll play out that way again. Kids aren't dumb. They know how to manipulate the system. What's your objective? We're going to glorify God, and we're going to do what the Bible tells us to do. What's your objective? What's your role in this family, in this house band of ours? You know, we could almost have a house band at our house. Because, you know, Madison and Cassidy can both play keyboard. Shayna can sing. You can play keyboard a little bit. It's been a while, though. And you're a lot older. And Brian, he's got a guitar in his room he picks on once in a while. He took lessons for a while, but if we could get him consistent, I'm just not sure what I'd do. Maybe I'd be the manager. What was the guy's name on the Partridge Family? What was the manager's name? I don't remember. That was a long time ago, but I could be the manager. I always wanted to be a drummer, though. Ethan, can you teach me how to be a drummer? I speed up and slow down a lot. I stop in the middle because I just can't keep going. Your feet and your hands and everything are doing different things at once. I couldn't do it. You got to figure out what your role is in this family, what you're called to do. What do we learn in families? You know, conflict resolution. How has it played out? It's played out in the family. You learn about conflict resolution because you love each other and there are going to be conflicts and you got to figure out how to resolve them because you still live together. You're going to figure it out through the family. Where do we learn about sharing? We learn about it in the family. Where do we learn about being a team? Not on the ball field. We learned it in the family. Where do you learn about helping and holding and being sensitive to one another's needs? You learned it in the family. You got to have that good family cohesion. And your kids will learn everything they need to know from the family if it's done right. Remember, the house is a holy objective utilized to serve everyone. That's what a house is. That's what it's got to be for you and what it's got to be for me. It's not easy to do. I'm not a natural born servant. I have to step out of my comfort zone to do that. I do serve. I do a lot of things. I'm part of groups in the community, but I'm not a natural born servant. Shayna is. She'll help out and do whatever. But sometimes you gotta push yourself out of your comfort zone to be a servant. I call it servant leadership. That's a term used a lot anymore. You know, servant leadership. You lead by serving and helping others. That's what you're doing as a dad. You're serving. You're a servant to your kids. You're a servant to their futures. You're a servant to the family as a whole. It's hard to think we've been doing this for a long time now. It's hard to think that we, you know, sometimes I just look at myself and I say, holy cow, I can't have a 25-year-old. That's crazy. Pretty soon, Brian's going to be my only kid, though, because the other two are too old. I'm not going to claim them. They're too old. Brian will be, that, we had a latecomer for a reason, Brian, so you can be our only child, right? You know, we talked earlier about being married young and dumb. We were young and dumb when we got married. Some people just need to pull the trigger and get married. You know, quit pretending to have a house. Quit pretending to be a family. Pull the trigger and get married. You know, it's, we're getting older and older before we get married. I know, yeah, obviously you want to marry someone that's a Christian. Obviously you want to marry someone that is attractive to you. And, you know, guys are stupid. They're like, I don't know, there might be somebody coming better coming along. We're dumb, you know. That's why we don't get married, because there might be somebody better around the corner. No. Here we go, brain freeze. Number one, you're not that good looking. Number two, you're not going to find anything better than what you got. And you probably ought to just marry it, you know, marry her. It's just one of those things. You got to make a commitment. And that commitment is a private decision that you make public through a marriage. It's a private decision that you make public through family. It's those things that you are declaring to people. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Is it going to be pretty all the time? Is it going to be perfect all the time? No, it's never going to be that way. But that's okay. It's consistent. You got to be consistent and stay with the family. Everyone's in the family. Everyone that's born again is in the family of Christ. You've been adopted by Christ. By his blood, we are all related. And if you don't have your family of your own, you've got a family here. You've got a family that you can rely on. It's a great opportunity to be in the family of God. And you can run to the house just like we run to our house sometimes and just be together. You can run to this house. Let's go back to Joshua. In Joshua 24, verses 25 through 27, it says, on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak, near the oak tree, the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be witness against us. It has heard all the words of the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to God. See, I think what he's saying here, that you've got to hold yourself accountable. Obviously, a rock can't speak, right? A rock can't record. What he's saying is, hold yourself accountable to what God has told you to do. Be that leader in your family that your family needs. Be that husband, be that father that they need you to be. Because it'll make life a lot simpler. Now, has anybody ever messed up before? Sure. My parents are divorced. I mean, there are things that happen. But I look back on my life and I'm thinking, if my parents operated and did some things different, they'd probably still be together today. One spouse or the other becomes very selfish. Their only care is themselves. And as a family, you got to care about everybody in your family. You got to take care of them. And they take care of you. That's the great part about it. You know, if I'm down and out with something, maybe stress at work, man, Shana's always there for me. And sometimes I have to listen to her too. When she comes home and talks about your kids in high school and the idiots that they are. No, she doesn't. She loves teaching. That's not the part that frustrates her. It's just all the other stuff that frustrates her. You know, all the other rules and regs and all the, you know, bantering that comes. But yeah, I remember when she first started teaching, she would go to lunch and sit at the table with a lot of other teachers, and they were just negative Nellies, right? Just negative Nellies the whole time. And she made the decision, I'm not going to sit with him anymore. I'm going to just go back to my room and eat. Because it was affecting her, right? So my point is look who you're hanging out with. Is it a family man? Is it not a family man? Are they corrupting you in a certain way? Who are you hanging out with? She held herself accountable and said, I better not do that because I'll end up negative Nelly like that too and not enjoy my life, not enjoy my career. But that's what we're asking to do. Be an adult. Be an adult. Hold yourself accountable and do those things that God's called you to do. So today, if you want to make that confession with me, we'll say it together. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If you want to make that confession, make it public if you want to. You don't have to, but we'll say that together as a congregation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you awake? Okay, just checking. Ready? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, it's been a great day. It's been a great day. I hope you got something out of that. I know sometimes I step on toes when I talk about those things a little bit. I'm just talking about what worked for me and my family and the principles that we followed. And I look back and I don't think it was too complicated or too tough. It was just, to me, the biggest thing is just consistency in everything. So stand to your feet. Someday I'm going to say stand to your head. See if you can do it. I can't do a handstand. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your word that teaches us and guides us in each and every day. Lord, we just thank you that you've given us a roadmap of how to have an awesome family and how to be an awesome family. Because really, Lord, we just thank you that the family is the basis for this. And the family is what's going to change things in our society. Lord, we just honor you today in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.